How y'all doing? Welcome to the program tonight. My name is Mike Malloy. For the next 3 hours, we are going to... Well, I'm going to let you in on the secret of what President Barack Obama is doing. There is a weird structure that has been put together, and it's almost like an exoskeleton. And Barack Obama and his minions are ready to push the country inside this exoskeleton. Everything that's been going on, the death of Senator Kennedy, it's all a diversion. I know. That's why I've had this chalkboard up all week doing my program. I realize almost 40 advertisers have left me, but you know what? I used to be an alcoholic. And I know what it's like to feel abandoned, but they can take it all away from me now. I don't care. I found the truth. And sometimes the truth drives me 24, 48, 72 hours. I can't sleep. I sit in front of my typewriter. Yes, I have a typewriter. And madly type truth. I don't bother with punctuation. No need. And tomorrow, on the program, I am going to reveal all of it. You see, I'm no longer a drunk. No. No, I'm not. I'm a goddamn maniac. I'm completely mad. Insane. I see things. And I hear things. And I understand what teabagging really is. And Barack Obama, a man born somewhere else, is behind it. And he's been trying to kill me! But I've escaped. I've gotten away. Nobody can find me. Stay tuned for tomorrow's program. And that is, somebody sent me an email and said that is what this crazy goddamn Glenn Beck has been doing all week. Oh my God! He's having a nervous breakdown on the air, which is cool. I mean, that's wonderful. Just like I said, Glenn, do it on television! Oh my God. Crazy stuff. John in West Virginia wrote in, Mr. Malloy. Usually when they start Mr. Malloy, I get a little weird. Mr. Malloy, while I do not care for Glenn Beck, I must say I do not want him to kill himself on his television or radio show. I will admit that morbid curiosity would make me watch. Personally, I would much rather have him call the conservative peers to a live show. Once they're all at the live showing of his program, he starts ranting about the liberal conspiracy, jumps on his desk, throws open his shirt, which reveals a suicide bomber's vest, and promptly blows himself, his peers, and the Fox Noise studios into dust! You must admit that would be far better than his eating a bullet. I think that would take care of all the radical right-wingers for the near future. John in West Virginia. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Well, what have we got here? Well, I got a lot of stuff here, but we're going to have to just kind of work it in, right? Oh, my goodness. Are we on the air tonight, or are things all screwed up? Oh, we are? Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. World Health Organization, from that alien communist Martian organization, United Nations, they have published a comparative list of countries' infant mortality rates, life expectancy at birth, per capita total expenditures on health, and total expenditures on health care as a percentage of the gross domestic product. We have on the list, the countries are Denmark, Germany, Ireland, Norway, Canada, Sweden, France, United Kingdom, Australia, Japan, Spain, Israel, United States of America. And I guess these, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 countries, I guess, are supposed to be the 13 countries that account for or are defined as wealthy countries or wealthy democracies or Western democracies or something. I don't know. But there are the countries. All right. Where it concerns infant mortality, the rate per 1,000 live births, how many children out of every 1,000, and taking in both sexes, out of every 1,000 live births, how many children die before the age of one? We're last. We're last. We have 7 dead children out of every 1,000 live births. Israel has 4, Spain 4, Japan 3, Australia 5, United Kingdom 5, France 4, Sweden 3, Canada 5, Norway 3, Iceland 4, Germany 4, and Denmark 3. United States of America, 7! By God, we don't need health care. Life expectancy. Let me see here. We are dead last again. Denmark, 79. Germany, Iceland, Norway, all 80. Canada, Sweden, and France, 81. United Kingdom, 79. Australia, 82. Japan, 83. Spain and Israel, 81 each. United States, 78. Dead last again. Per capita expenditure on health in dollars each person. In Denmark, 3,300. Germany, 3,300. Ireland, 3,000. Norway, 4,500. Canada, 3,600. Sweden, 3,100. France, 3,500. United Kingdom, 2,700. Australia, 3,100. Japan, 2,500. Spain, 2,300. Israel, 2,200. United States of America, 6,714. The highest per capita expenditure on Earth. Well, at least where it concerns the privileged 13 countries. Now, total nations expenditure on health care as a percentage of the gross domestic product. Here we go again. You ready? Denmark, 9.5. Germany, 10.4. Ireland, 7.5. Norway, 8.7. Canada, 10% of their total 10% of their total GDP spent on health. Sweden, 8.9. France, 11.1. United Kingdom, 8.4. Australia, 8.7. Japan, 7.9. Spain, 8.1. Israel, 7.8. United States of America, 15.3! Dead last in infant mortality, dead last in life expectancy at birth, dead last in or most expensive per capita total expenditure, and most expensive as health costs as a percentage of gross domestic product. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Son of a bitch, we don't need new health care. It's all a plot. It's an exoskeleton into which Barack Obama is going to shove something awful. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Anyone past the hour, I got a website for you, and after I play this piece of sound for you, I would like you to go there and sign their petition. It's against CNN. The website is Americans United for Change. Americans United for Change, all spelled out. AmericansUnitedForChange.org/banned by CNN. Okay? Americans United for Change. .org/banned by CNN. All right, what this is all about, CNN is refusing to run an ad, a paid ad by this organization, Americans United for Change, because the ad calls out the insurance industry and specifically this rapacious organization called Cigna. You familiar with Cigna? These are thieves. The Cigna is a bandit outlaw organization. They steal. You have to see the ad and then sign a petition to CNN asking that they allow advertising about health insurance companies. Meanwhile, the big health insurance companies, of course, are trying to kill Obama's health insurance reform legislation. So if you go to this website, you'll see the ad. I'm going to play it for you now. You're going to hear the audio. Listen to this.
Why do the health insurance companies and Republicans want to kill President Obama's health insurance reform? Because they like things the way they are now. Ed Hanway, CEO of insurance giant Cigna, makes $12.2 million a year. That's $5,883 an hour. Ed makes more in one day than the average worker makes all year long. Now Ed's retiring with a $73 million golden parachute. The Republican prescription for the health insurance crisis? Be as rich as Ed. You'll be happy too.
$73 million golden parachute for this vampire son of a bitch who runs Cigna. 73. How much health insurance for how many people would his golden, and every time I hear golden parachute, I think of golden showers. And that's what these people are doing to us. They're pissing all over us. $73 million because he's a thief, because he steals from people without a gun. Americans United, I'm very pissed off.
Oh, really?
AmericansUnitedForChange.org. Please go there. AmericansUnitedForChange.org/banned by CNN. They ask a question. Why do we have health insurance companies? Huh? Why do we have health insurance companies? What has a health insurance company to do with your health? Think about it. They don't do any checkups. They don't do exams. They don't perform an operation. Why are they there? To make profits for their stockholders and $73 million for this son of a bitch who runs Cigna. That's why they're there. They only exist to deny you health care. And the real question is, it's not why do we need a public plan. Why do we need a public option? No. This is how it's being framed. The real question is, why do we have a private plan? What's the point? It's to make a class of thugs and bandits wealthy. That's all. It has nothing to do with saving your life or your child's life or your mama's life. Nothing. They don't give a goddamn. $73 million golden parachute? And the right-wing monsters in this country, the killers, the people who hate you and hate me and hate this country and want us to continue to be a sick collection of ignorant sons of bitches are telling us we can't afford health care reform. Well, people are so scared about the cost of health care reform, it seems no one has passed sixth grade arithmetic. What's the number you keep hearing? $1 trillion over 10 years. $1 trillion! Well, for each of the 175 million workers in the United States, you know what that works out to over 10 years? $1.56 a day. $1.56 a day. Can you afford $1.56 a day for health insurance coverage for the next 10 years? Son of a bitch, of course you can. $1 trillion! $1.56 a day over the next 10 years for 175 million workers in the United States. It would cover all the workers who then in turn would have health insurance to give to their families. I'll be a son of a bitch. I am so tired of this, these people who scream at these meetings about abortions and you're a liar and how are we going to pay for it? You dumb asses. How can you be so stupid? Don't even try to answer it. This is the same crowd that allowed us to go into a war, two wars that have now killed 5,000 Americans and probably 500,000 Iraqis and Afghans. To convince them, let's take a break.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Have you, I guess you all saw the reports today about this child who was kidnapped when she was 11 years old, almost 20 years ago, near her home in California, has been found. She's now 29. There's a story here. As a matter of fact, I think it fits right in with Uncle Mike's story corner. Hey, kiddies. Gather round. It's time once again for Uncle Mike's story corner. Tonight we have a very scary one. It's about a little girl. Are you a little girl? Here's the story. And it was found in a secret place. A woman kidnapped as an 11-year-old girl nearly two decades ago near her South Lake Tahoe home was kept prisoner in a squalid backyard compound outside Antioch, California, and had at least two children with one of her alleged abductors, authorities said today. J.C. Dugard, now 29, turned up alive today. Yesterday, 18 years after she was snatched off the street as she walked to a school bus stop. Arrested in the case were Philip Craig Garrido, 58, and his wife Nancy Garrido, 55, authorities said. Both were being held on $1 million bail. Philip Garrido was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping, rape by force, lewd and lascivious acts with a minor, sexual penetration, and conspiracy. His wife was booked on suspicion of conspiracy and kidnapping. Neighbors in an unincorporated semi-rural area outside Antioch described Philip Garrido as a strange man. They and other acquaintances said he conducted religious revivals in a tent, claimed to hear the voices of angels, and said he had developed a device through which he could control sound with his mind. Miss Dugard apparently was kept for much of the time in a shed, authorities said. She and her daughters were also housed in tents and outbuildings in a part of the Garrido's backyard not easily visible from outside the property on Walnut Drive. The daughters were 15 and 11, said El Dorado County Undersheriff Fred Kohler, whose agency is leading the investigation because Miss Dugard was snatched from his county. Mr. Garrido fathered both girls, the undersheriff said. One of the sheds where the girls were living could only be opened from the outside, and rudimentary toilets and electrical hookups were set up nearby. That Dugard was found in such living conditions was appalling, the sheriff said, but more important was the fact that she was found at all. The neighbor declared at a news conference, quote, "We're very happy to be in front of you under these circumstances. J.C. Dugard was found alive in Antioch." The Garridos were arrested yesterday after Philip Garrido came to a state patrol office in Concord accompanied by his wife, a woman who turned out to be Miss Dugard, and Dugard's two daughters, officials said. Mr. Garrido, a registered sex offender, was asked to come in because University of California, Berkeley police officer Allison Jacobs had become suspicious after questioning him about handing out his religious materials on campus without getting clearance first. Diligent questioning and further investigation by state authorities and Concord police revealed that the woman was the missing J.C. Dugard. Officials said Mr. Garrido served time in Nevada in 1971 on a kidnapping and rape conviction, was paroled in June 1999. It was not immediately clear where Dugard may have been while Garrido was in custody. Dugard was last seen June 10th, 1991, as she was walking to a bus stop in South Lake Tahoe. The blonde, blue-eyed 11-year-old wearing a pink top and pink pants was going to catch the bus at her school near South Lake Tahoe. She never made it. As the mother, Carol Probin, little JC's mother, watched from the family driveway on a hill about two blocks away, a two-tone gray sedan pulled up and someone yanked the girl into the car and sped off. Even though officers responded within minutes, no trace of the car or the girl was ever found. Neighbors of the Garridos on Walnut Avenue, and even some of his own family, considered Philip Garrido an oddball, saying he believed he could talk to God. With its security bars on the windows and doors, the Garrido's gray one-story home stands out from the others in the semi-rural neighborhood. Erica Pratt, 25, who lived next door 2 years ago, said she continuously freaked out by Mr. Garrido's behavior, and that when she popped her head over the fence, she saw his secret compound. She saw tents, sheds, and pit bulldogs and water hoses leading from her house next door to the compound. Pratt said, quote, "He told us never to come over, but then he said, come on over and hear him talk about God. But he was really weird. He had little girls and women living in that backyard, and they all looked kind of the same. They never talked. They kept to themselves." Miss Pratt said people came and went from the property, but the core group consisted of two girls about 4 years old, one girl about 11, and another girl about 15, and a young woman about 25. They were all blonde, she said. Ms. Pratt added that she called the police to investigate, but after officers went to Garrido's door, quote, "they told me they couldn't go inside because they didn't have a warrant, so they just told him they'd keep an eye on him." Haiti Perry, 35, who lives next door, said that when Philip Garrido helped her jumpstart her car a month ago, he had a pre-adolescent girl clinging to him in a manner that struck her as strange. The girl told Miss Perry that Garrido was her father and that she had older sisters, including one who was 28, which is 1 year younger than J.C. Dugard is believed to be now. Miss Perry said of the girl, "she stayed close to him at all the time. It wasn't normal behavior. She had a blank stare on her face. Now it seems like a cry for help." A website containing statements apparently from Garrido and others indicates that he gave a demonstration in Pittsburgh, California last month to prove, quote, "the Creator has given me the ability to speak in the tongue of angels in order to provide a wake-up call that will in time include the salvation of the entire world." Garrido also had a printing business. Tiffany Tran, who runs Furniture Gallery in Brentwood, said she had seen and done business with Phil the printer for 6 years, as recently as last week. She recalled Garrido as being a little different and said he constantly talked about religion and showed her a device through which he claimed he could control sound with his mind. She said he was very religious and talked about God and about how God had been his salvation. Miss Tran said he loved God. He said God was amazing. He talked about how much God had changed him, that he had been corrupt and womanizing and this and that. Uncle Mike's Story Corner, brought to you by your friends at Acme Bible College, who sincerely wish that you would get right with Jesus, too. Is that the end of our music? It ends rather abruptly. It must be an angel who just goes, my God. And some people wonder why I have such a powerful aversion to anything that even smells like religion. Just remember, science flies you to the moon, religion flies you into buildings. Ah, who said that? That was at bartcop.com. I don't know where it came from, but it's good. It's good. And also remember, that was, let's credit Bartcop with that. We'll credit Voltaire with this one. Anyone who has the power to make you believe absurdities has the power to make you commit injustices. I would change that. Anyone who has the power to make you believe absurdities has the power to make you commit atrocities. Now, who could that be? I know! How about the zombies who watch Glenn Beck? I got an email from Mark Carlin today, who is the editor at BuzzFlash. You all are familiar with BuzzFlash.com, right? It is a great source for news. They, not only do they have blogs and essays and points of view and so on and so forth, but they cull through God knows how many news sources, and, it's all there for you every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't go to buzzflash.com and, find something, sometimes the whole damn program. if Bob Alexander hasn't provided me with everything, but, I want to share this with you because it concerns why Fox News Channel will not fire Glenn Beck. And it was written by Mark Carlin, and it's really a scary piece. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To make nice, it's Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. I don't want to push this too far. It's not Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is a complete ass, but he is a perfect tool for corporate America. He is a stupid little man. Well, he's not little. He's a stupid man. He is a borderline sociopath, and he just may blow his own brains out on radio or television. But He serves his function well. He is now, I think, probably the number one listened to or watched right-wing nutcase in America. I know he's surpassed Hannity. I wouldn't be surprised if he's surpassed the goofball, the drug addict. But Beck doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He doesn't. He is really insane. Watch his, if you can do it, go to his program and watch him. Just watch him for 10 minutes. And if you have any background at all in, you know, maybe you took a course in school about abnormal psychology or just Psych 101, watch this guy. And you'll come to a very quick conclusion that he really is. He's just borderline personality disorder. And I mean that as a clinical diagnosis. He really is. He's going to blow. At some point, he's going to blow. There's no question. Mark Carlin, writing at BuzzFlash, it's the editor's blog, writes, Glenn Beck is here to stay as far as Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch are concerned. And he's here to stay far into the future. It would take an abrupt end to the largely Fox-led right-wing hysteria to disappear before you would see Beck canned, and that won't be happening anytime in the foreseeable future. Mark writes, that's due to many reasons. I'll try to enumerate a few. Beck is becoming an increasingly key factor in inciting the hateful mobs and the seemingly crazed incivility and jaw-dropping antics that we find abhorrent are exactly what Fox finds valuable in him. He's breaking away with record audiences in a non-primetime spot, rising recently to surpass Hannity's audience. In fact, the brilliant boycott led by colorofchange.org is giving him more publicity and driving more confused, television-fed, simple-minded white Americans to his program. Fox will carry Beck indefinitely with small-time ads, even ads for Fox divisions, as they are doing now, because one, they hope to eventually shift other Fox advertisers to his program. Two, they hope that some of the more than 30 companies now not advertising will come back when the heat dies down. Three, Fox would lose credibility with its entire red meat audience if it backed down from a fight. Four, it would make Fox vulnerable to boycotts in regards to its entire propaganda network programming. And five, Beck is doing exactly what Fox wants him to do, which is distract the confused white masses from blaming corporations for their economic plight to blaming scapegoats. In this case, non-whites. And then Mark adds this. It's a lengthy blog. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Just go to buzzflash.com and you can read yourself. Mark Carlin's the editor there. But Mark then writes, Fox is Rupert Murdoch's main vehicle for ensuring the continued and unquestioned greed of the corporate ruling class. And Beck is the most successful gutter carnival barker in terms of churning up hateful and igniting emotions that they have. That sentence is a little screwy there, Mark. He touches something so evil and primal in the chronically confused and the white firsters that he makes Hannity appear civil. Beck is a strategic thespian of both the most skilled and basest sort. This makes him a star to Fox, not a pariah. You can read the rest of this at BuzzFlash.com. But it is... It is absolutely clear. You know, Mark Carlin is absolutely correct. Beck is doing exactly what his puppet masters want him to do. And I don't think they're equally evil, but I don't think there are more evil people floating like so much unflushable dung in a toilet bowl right now in this society as Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch. There are others who are equally vile. But I don't think anybody exceeds how destructive Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes are. They are in that first level of people who want this country to die. And the thing that is driving me insane is the fact that the people they're appealing to, millions of Americans, also want the country to die. What in the hell happened? What happened? During the past 8 years, when the country was being murdered, stabbed in the back, stabbed in the stomach, its eyes being thumbed out of its head, its guts being ripped open, when that was being done by the Bush crime family, where were these bastards then? Well, the answer is very simple. If corporate America destroys the country, no problem. if an administration comes into power that tries to save the country from corporate America, God damn, call out the Klan. And that's what Beck is. He may be a tool. He may be a puppet. But this son of a bitch deserves to be in a hood, in a white cape, holding aloft a flaming cross, screaming, "Lynch them." My God. Go to BuzzFlash.com during the break and read, if you want to, read Mark Carlin's BuzzFlash editor's blog. Fox won't fire Glenn Beck, and here's why. Portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. I'm sitting here with MSNBC on the monitor here watching the endless parade of people who are passing by the flag-draped coffin that contains the body of Ted Kennedy. And, of course, this has been going on all day and will probably continue for quite some time. People who understood all the good that Ted Kennedy did. And, you know, when I juxtaposition that with the filth that right-wing radio and television have heaped on this man, not just since he's dead, although it seems to be increasing exponentially now that he's gone, but over all the years that Ted Kennedy has done his goddamnedest to, did he run a car off the road? Was he drunk? I don't know. Did Mary Jo Kopechne die? Yes. Did he wait too long to call somebody? Of course he did. Okay, we've got that established. Now, all the good that this man has done, even for these jerk-ass right-wingers, because, see, that's the thing that drives me crazy. The people who are trying to ruin the country and doing determined to do it, people like this pissant Beck and the rest of these people who are desperately dedicated to the idea of destroying America, while they're practicing their destruction, they benefit from legislation that Ted Kennedy either wrote himself or co-wrote and got passed. It's unbelievable to me. I wish these right wingers would all disappear. I wish there was something to the rapture. Only it'd be straight to hell. They wouldn't rapture to some heaven somewhere. They'd rapture right down through the goddamn earth into a boiling lake of fire. A reverse rapture, a right wing rapture. I just wish that would happen. I know. I'll close my eyes and tap my heels 3 times. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I wish there was a rapture that took all the right wingers straight into hell. Are they still here? Are they still here? Hello? Are they still? Oh, damn, they're still here. Terry in Michigan writes, "Hi, Mike. For healthcare, America boards the Titanic daily with only enough lifeboats for first class. And woe to us in steerage. We do this by choice. Are we a cruel nation or only ignorant?" Woo! Terry. That's Terry in Bark River, Michigan. Terry, I think we're both. I've said before on this program that for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, we are as a clutch, as a tribe, and I realize we're not a tribe in this country. We are not Sweden or China or Japan. We're the United States. We're a nation of immigrants. That's how we started. When we came over, we had to murder everybody here, and then we had to steal people from other countries on a different continent to come over and do our labor force. But we are a nation of immigrants. And, I guess because of that, there's no cohesiveness here. It's always been, you know, master against slave, immigrant against indigenous, black against white, Jew against Gentile, Catholic against Protestant, sane people against the right wing. I mean, look at our history. Look at our history with the possible, I can't think of any other country that was established like ours in relatively modern times. Let's go back 300 years. Australia, okay, they had to blow out the indigenous people, sure. South Africa, okay. Where else? I mean, there's been a lot of imperialism. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the way we did it here. And for some reason, that left us stupid. And I think one of the reasons we have been highly ignorant and stupid is because of the dichotomy of what we're taught in school and what really goddamn happened. We're not taught the truth. We're not taught the truth. So when the truth starts to sink in about what this country is all about and what we've done, especially the past 110 years, when that horrifying truth starts to sink in, some people just quietly go insane and drift over to people like Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity, where they can be reassured that they're not sane. It's those goddamn liberals. The rest of us are kind of left with, oh my God. We're confronted with the truth. We've got the mythology. And there's only one thing we can do. Be insane. Like the Beck eaters, or not be insane. And it's a challenge. There's a third way. That's to ignore all of it. Just ignore all of it. And that's what about probably 80% of Americans do. They stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 la. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear. I don't want to know. God damn it. Leave me alone. I hate the right, I hate the left, I hate the up, I hate the down, I hate the black and the white and the Jew and the Gentile. I hate them, leave me alone, leave me alone. That's what about 80% of Americans do. Any other civilized tribe would say, wait a minute, wait a second. And they would take the oligarchs and put them up against a wall and get rid of that real quick. And all these right-wingers talk about the foundational principles of this country. Oh, go to hell, every one of you, you lying little sneaky cowards, underlying foundational principles. And that's the reason you take your gun to a presidential healthcare meeting, you pissy little cowards, you. Oh, my God. But to answer the question, are we... What was the question? Are we ignorant or cruel? Are we a cruel nation or only ignorant? We're both. We have treated the rest of the world with the kind of cruelty that is staggering. Staggering. We go into countries and kill their people and steal their resources. We go into countries and destroy their government and replace it with one that we can manage. We go into countries and blow up indigenous people and establish plantations for the benefit of our people. We are a terrible, cruel country. We've always had the potential to not be that way. Jesus H. Christ, did all these right-wingers say, well, he's my favorite philosopher. I mean, if they really meant it, if they really understood what Jesus or any avatar of some higher the thought process or sky spook or however you want to put it, if they ever, ever really followed that, they would first of all fall on the ground and beg forgiveness of the rest of the world for the crimes against humanity that we've been committing for the past 110 years for sure. And then they would work to satisfy their Savior by doing what he directed them to do. But that will never happen. That'll happen the same day Roger Ailes calls Glenn Beck into the inner sanctum and says, get out of the building. In other words, never. The Christianity of these people has been totally rejiggered. It's been changed into a demonic, hate-filled, destructive blood cult. So, there's your answer. We are a nasty, nasty country. Nasty. And when you couple that with ignorance, the kind of ignorance that is willful, willful ignorance. I choose to be ignorant. La 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 la. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. When you couple the nastiness with the willful ignorance, oh boy, you have a nation that is on a one-way trip to absolute chaos. You know it's coming. You know it. And the leaders in this are the right-wing radio and television monsters who keep feeding and feeding and feeding the ignorance and the hatred and the fear and the hatred and the ignorance and the fear and the fear and the fear. Just feed it and feed it and feed it.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Al sent something to me here. An Idaho Republican candidate for governor jokes about buying Obama tags to go along with wolf hunt tags. You got to buy it. Well, let me have Al explain it. He writes, I feel this really strange emptiness in my chest when I read these things. There are people out there running for office in the United States who joke about literally killing their opponents. So tell me that these pigs are not trying to incite some idiot pseudo-American to kill President Obama. And then what Al has sent me here, is it from Crooks and Liars? Damn. Anyway, it's written by David Nywert today. He writes, much of my family still lives in Idaho, and my dad is fond of hanging at the gun range. He says he hears guys talking casually about how easy it would be to shoot President Obama with a long-range rifle and how they'd really like to do it. Jokes like that are becoming common there, too. So it really didn't surprise me when one of the wing-nuttiest wing-nuts in Idaho, and that's really saying something, joked about how he'd happily buy a hunting tag for shooting President Obama. Here's the story. Rex Rammel, a long-shot gubernatorial candidate seeking the Republican nomination, criticized Governor Butch Otter on Wednesday for not making good on a promise to buy the first wolf tag. Tags for hunting the gray wolf went on sale Monday. Rammel's remarks on Governor Otter came in an interview Wednesday after the Times News asked about comments Rammel made Tuesday night at a local Republican Party event. After an audience member shouted a question about Obama tags during a discussion on wolves, Rammel responded, quote, the Obama tags? Yeah, we'd buy some of those, end quote. Rommel, a veterinarian and former elk rancher from Idaho Falls, said his comment was a joke, just a joke, and he would never seriously talk about President Obama that way. Although he doesn't support anything Obama's done as president, Rommel said, quote, I'm just being sarcastic. That was just a joke. I would never support him being assassinated. You know, the woman asked me that question kind of caught me off guard, to be honest with you. End quote. Sure, just a joke. Except that to find it funny, you'd actually have to harbor that wish. Rommel, as we said, is something of a wingnut swingnut. He got into politics when the state shut down his elk ranching operation for his disastrous mismanagement of the facility. So he ran as an independent in last year's Senate campaign in Idaho, which was won by James Risch. Rommel finished a distant third with 5% of the vote. Just a few months ago, Rommel announced he was running for a House seat as a Republican. Then he shifted gears and he's now running for Idaho governor as a Republican. Yada, yada, yada. One of these guys, one of these son of a bitches, these right-wing Nazis like Rommel or Beck, or the little boy who likes to go play at the Bunny Ranch, that'd be Sean Hannity, or the drug-addled freak Rush Limbaugh, one of them is going to say something beyond what they've already said that's going to cause some right-wing freak to pick up a gun or do what Timothy McVeigh did. And if that happens to Barack Obama, and this is what they're hoping for, this is what Glenn Beck and the rest of these traitorous dogs, these America haters, these Nazis, what they're hating for, if something happens to Barack Obama, this country ends. That's it. And they know it. And that's what they're pushing for, because in the new United States of America, the new fascist states of America, Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all of these pigs who have contributed to the destruction of this country, Roger Ailes, Rupert Murdoch, the list goes on and on and on. It seems almost endless. They will wind up as the ruling class. This is what they're counting on. This is what they're hoping for. That with all the hate and the violence that they're pumping in their rhetoric into the brains of these half-wits and the brains of people who don't have the courage to try to figure out what's being done to them, who are running around because, yes, their jobs have been taken away. Yes, they're in desperate shape. Yes, they have no health insurance. And who in the goddamn hell are you going to blame for it? Barack Obama? But they're going to hit the right note at some point. It's like the perfect chant, the perfect At some point, if you chant that sound enough, at some point, it may take you 50 years, but you'll slide through and all of a sudden you'll be there. And the same thing is true with these right-wingers, and they know it. They'll say the right sound, the right word, and the right person will have a complete freak out.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Don't you dare to try and stop us. No one could belong. Searchlight on my trail.
25 before the hour. Regarding working on the prejudices of the people, Bob writes in, Mike, is this what you're talking about? In a letter to Colonel William Elkins, written November 21st, 1864, Abraham Lincoln wrote, quote, I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed, end quote. And Bob writes, in Lincoln was shot, slavery ended, and as you point out, 35 years later, the oligarchy cranked up the imperialist phase of crimes against everyone, which continues to this day. Has that quote been discredited? Was that I don't know. I've read that before, and somebody said, "Well, that never happened." He never said that. I don't know. Maybe somebody will research it. But I think he did. I think I did check it out one time at Snopes or someplace. Susan in Madison, Wisconsin writes, Mike, CNN News advertises on our station, the Mike 92.1 in Madison, Wisconsin, that people who have questions about health care should email them and they'll answer them on the air. Okay. I think we should inundate CNN with this question. Why has CNN television banned the health care ad? You claim to be the most trusted name in news, but how can we trust you when you won't allow an ad that tells the truth? The email address, Susan writes, is cnnradio@cnn.com. Thanks, Susan in Madison. No, thank you, Susan. Yeah, that's a good idea. Why not ask them? Why not ask them? The address is cnnradio@cnn.com. A lot of the stations that carry my program also carry CNN Radio News. So why not ask them? CNNradio@CNN.com. And the question is, why has CNN Television banned the healthcare ad that points out that the CEO of Cigna is leaving the company with $27 million? Bastards. Do you have that commercial? Let's play it again. This is the ad that CNN Television will not run.
Why do the health insurance companies and Republicans want to kill President Obama's health insurance reform? Because they like things the way they are now. Ed Hanway, CEO of insurance giant Cigna, makes $12.2 million a year. That's $5,883 an hour. Ed makes more in one day than the average worker makes all year long. Now Ed's retiring with a $73 million golden parachute. The Republican prescription for the health insurance crisis? Be as rich as Ed. You'll be happy too.
$73 million, not $27 million. My bad. This vampire, Ed, makes more in one day than the average American worker makes in a year. Now, can somebody explain that to me? You little right-wing pissants that listen to this program in the darkness so nobody will know. Do you have an answer to that? Huh? I know you're not going to challenge it because your brains have been sucked out and replaced with sawdust, but let's just think for a moment. How do you feel knowing that you're being denied desperately needed medical care? And if you're not now, you eventually will be, Bubba. You're being denied medical insurance so that this son of a bitch can make more in a day than you make in a year. And yet you listen to the killers, the people who are destroying America, and you support them. And my question is simple. Why? Why do you do this? What do you gain taking your goddamn toy guns to a presidential speech on health care? What do you gain, you little cowardly punk? What do you gain? Jesus Christ, I have guns. I have big guns and little guns. I really do. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm a fully armed liberal. But I have enough goddamn sense not to take a gun to a rally where a president, any president, is speaking. I don't take my gun into a church. Of course, I don't go to a church. I don't take my gun on school grounds. I don't take it to a state park. I do take it some places, though, because you people freak me out, you right-wingers. You scare me to death. Your ignorance and your hatred scare me to death. I am terrified of you, and I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not, except you. That's the only thing I fear. I don't fear anything, not death, not anything. But I fear you. And that's because the one thing I do fear is crazy. I fear crazy. And every one of you are just out of your goddamn minds. You just continue to do everything you can against your own interests. Why? That's the only question I've ever had for you people. Why? Why do you do that? What do you hope to gain? You gain nothing. There's only one group that gains, and that's that upper one-tenth of 1%, the oligarchs, the people like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. They're the only ones that gain. You poor, miserable son of a bitch, you are just fodder for them. If you die tomorrow choking on your own vomit, do you think they'll care? If you go to one of these so-called rallies and all of a sudden have a heart attack because you're screaming out your venom and hate, do you think Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh will give a tinker's damn about you? You're nothing. You don't exist. They play with you for sport. Oh, my God, don't you see that? No, you don't. Okay. That's the part that I just don't get it. Hatred and belligerence and willful ignorance. Okay. Part of the human condition. But a deep-seated, apparently, wish to murder your own country? What is wrong with you? You want fascism? You really do believe these people that poison the airwaves in this country every day from sunup till sundown across the fruited plain, as this filthy drug addict says every day, border to border, coast to coast? Do you really, really want what he's got to deliver? What do you think he's delivering to you? Oh, my God! Hatred and poison and ignorance and stupidity and your own goddamn death. That's what he hands you. He being every one of these people, that's what they hand you every single day. Every day. Because it's a zero-sum game with them. In order for them to live, they need to eat you. You need to die. For them to live, you need to die. Don't you get it? That's how fascism works. Jesus Christ, you have example after example after example in recent history. Please open your eyes and look at it. For them to live, you have to die. Sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively. But you must die for them to live. You don't get that? Oh, man. I just... Wait a minute, I'm getting a voice in my head. Ah, there it is. It's a vision. A vision. I see a white man. He's driving somewhere in America tonight in the dark. And he's got Sirius, or is it XM? Or is it Sirius? I don't know. Sirius, 167. He's listening. He inadvertently found this station, this program. Oh, my God, he's listening. And he's sitting there, he's thinking,
oh, in the goddamn hell is this? Son of a bitch. How did this freak get on the air? Oh, Jesus Christ. Let me switch over to ESPN.
And he's gone. Oh, God. All right. We're going to take a break. Yeah, that's what the music means. We'll be back. Stick around if you want to. If you can't take any more, I understand. I really do. You can only take this program in small bites.
It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Let me give you the name of the nonprofit that CNN refuses to run, whose ad CNN refuses to run. It's AmericansUnitedForChange.org. AmericansUnitedForChange.org. That was the ad we just played for you a minute ago. They have a petition that they're asking people to sign that will go to CNN. And the website for that is AmericansUnitedForChange.org/banned by CNN. Banned by CNN. Americans United for Change, all spelled out, .org, banned by CNN. Mike writes, you wonder how many people can fall for the stupidity that Beck puts out? Well, it's not new. Remember, there was a similar proportion in pre-World War II Germany who believed the same crap. I wonder, Mike writes, why the Anti-Defamation League isn't protesting the resurgence of this hate speech, the scapegoating. Obviously, they're playing with fire not to resist this trend. They're selling out their principles. Their universal principles, to appease the U.S. corporate fascists in the hope that they'll be saved. Mike. Well, I don't know. Although I wonder the same thing you do. Why there isn't more of an outcry. I realize that there is some resistance to this filth that the Nazis are putting out this time. Jonah Goldberg, who should know better since he's Jewish, the Goldberg woman's son, what was her name? What was the one in the Clinton, the one who taped the Monica, it was Linda Tripp and Goldberg. Linda Tripp was one. And who was Lucianne Goldberg, right. Well, her son, Jonah, is editor-at-large of National Review Online. And he went on Fox News today to, according to Talking Points memo, to fan the flames of the latest fabricated death panel controversy. Goldberg equated a Veterans Affairs pamphlet, one that's not even being used, with Nazi eugenics, saying, quote, death panels may not be too far off the horizon, end quote. The pamphlet in question is one that Fox reported this weekend encourages disabled veterans to decide whether their lives are worth living, which is a goddamn lie. I mean, it's a lie. It doesn't say anything like that, but Tammy Duckworth, Assistant Secretary of the VA, told Fox on Sunday that her department had instructed VA doctors to stop using the pamphlet in 2007 anyway, back during the Bush years. But Fox ignored that, saying soldiers returning from Iraq are given the pamphlet. Goldberg said, quote, "This goes into the realm of valuing whether life is worthy of life, as the Germans used to say," end quote. You little rat bastard, you should understand that more than anybody. And here you are, Jonah, promoting Nazism. Let me tell you something, Jonah. Well, he said this. Quote, "This goes into the idea that if somehow you're in a wheelchair, if you're handicapped, if you're just too melancholy to contribute to society, well, then maybe these are circumstances where you need to be culled from the tribe. This is the sort of thing that emanates up from this document," end quote. Jonah Goldberg said that. How disgusting. This is the kind of stuff. You know, Goldberg would have been one of those Jews in a death camp that assisted the Nazis in herding his fellow Jews into the ovens. What were they called? What they had a name for the Sonderkommandos? I forget. Is that it? Sonderkommando? That's what Jonah Goldberg is doing. Oh, my God. It's astonishing that somebody would compare an attempt to bring health care to uninsured Americans, health insurance, compare it to eugenics that started here, by the way, Jonah. It was an American idea, you dumbass. And then your buddy Adolf picked up on it. And millions of your tribe were executed. And you have the audacity, Jonah Goldberg, to compare an attempt to bring health care to people in this country to the death camps of Germany? You filthy bastard. So, yeah, where is the Anti-Defamation League? Where is the NAACP? Where is the Southern Poverty Law Center? I realize these people have been trying. They've been putting out an attempt to put out information. But they better do a hell of a lot better job than they've been doing. Jonah Goldberg comparing Barack Obama's attempt to bring health care, comparing to death panels, saying that a pamphlet that was discontinued 2 years ago, whose main focus was to try to help people deal with what they were dealing with, and this rat bastard compares it to Nazi eugenics, to Mengele. Yeah, Jonah Goldberg would be the type of Jew at Treblinka or Bergen-Belsen or Dachau or Auschwitz who assisted the Nazi death camp guards in herding Jews into the furnaces. Shame on you, Jonah. Shame, shame, shame. 7 past the hour. Yeah, Roz got the word for me. Sonderkommando was something, somebody who works for the enemy inside a concentration camp, even though he or she is part of the oppressed people who are there. But the word I was looking for, and Roz provided, is capo. Those were the Jews who, for whatever reason, survival, I mean, none of us can fully understand what happens in those situations. We just simply can't. Why capos would exist to begin with. But, we can understand, that Jonah Goldberg has put himself in the same position as a capo. He is willing to assist in the rise of fascism in this country. And that makes him a capo. And it's just astonishing to me, that he would do that. But a lot of things are astonishing to me. Barry writes, there was one statement made by Abe Foxman, who is the head of the ADL, but it was pretty weak. Barry says, I think the ADL needs to be more aggressive in highlighting this outrageous behavior by these wacko teabaggers, birthers, and brain-dead birchers in public places using images of the swastika. Obama made to look like Hitler, calling health care reform a Nazi plan to members of Congress such as Barney Frank. Regards, Barry. Of course, Barney Frank is Jewish, and it, you know, to do that, to just like that bit of video that was available, we played the audio. It was from one of these meetings, these town hall meetings, where the right wingers, egged on by the Nazi Glenn Beck, showed up, and the Jewish man was standing there talking about, he'd been in this country, what did he say, 20 years, talking about healthcare in Israel. And he had a very heavy accent, Russian or whatever. And to a certain degree, I had the feeling that he was kind of freaking out, that he's been in this country for 20 years. He hears and sees this flaunting of Nazi symbols. And then this crazy bitch in the background calls him or screams at him, Heil Hitler. And then the guy really lost it. And she just stood there with this sick, disgusting, middle America, white woman, Jew hater look on her face. And this poor man is standing there. You call me and you say Heil Hitler to me? And she just looked at him and smirked. And then a couple of large white men came and got in between her and the Jewish man. It was just unbelievable to see. You know, the next day, I was just waiting for somebody in a brown shirt to show up and club the Jew to the ground so that the white woman, who it turns out, she was interviewed by the television station out there. Yes, I'm a God-fearing Christian. We've seen this movie, son of a bitch, we've seen this movie. And Jonah Goldberg, who has identified himself as a capo, as willing to lead his fellow Americans into fascism. And is proud of it. And talks about death camps as or death panels as if such a thing existed. God damn you, Jonah. Shame on you. I've already said that. And Jonah doesn't give a tinker's damn. I don't exist in Jonah's world. Jonah's world is Matt Drudge, another Jew, who deliberately and consciously assists in bringing fascism to America. What is wrong with you? And Glenn Beck, and Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity. Beck is a Mormon. Hannity's a Catholic. Limbaugh is a dog worshiper or whatever. And why? You know, it's understandable. Hannity, I'm sure, is one of these Opus Dei Catholics who still wants to blame the Jews for the death of Christ, even though Vatican II was supposed to have absolved the blood guilt. But Pat Buchanan has never accepted that. Fat Tony on the Supreme Court has never accepted that. One doubts whether Sammy the Fish Alito on the Supreme Court has ever accepted that. It's astonishing to me that, and I mean this, you take it any way you want to. I frankly don't give a damn how you take it. I hope you take it at face value exactly the way I mean it. It's astonishing to me that there are Jews in America now who are supporting openly and willingly the onset of American fascism. I don't get that. I can understand other religious slash ethnic slash cultural groups supporting fascism because they have never experienced the bloody club of fascism. My grandfather, who was an immigrant from Italy, was a Republican. Back when being a Republican meant something entirely different from what it means now. And he came to this country before the advent of Mussolini. But he had family in Italy. And about once a month, he would get a letter from his family in Italy. And I was too young. I'm talking about the 40s. My grandfather got letters from home in the 20s and 30s and 40s as Italian fascism, or as Mussolini called it, corporatism, was on the rise. And my grandfather would get these letters, and they were in Italian, obviously. And years later, I used to ask my grandmother, what did those letters say? And she would get them out and translate for me. And it was just... unbelievable stuff about what was going on in Italy. The fasciti, what they were doing. Destroying. Now, granted, it was Italy. I mean, you know, Italy, hell, Italy was broken up into little dukedoms. In the mid-19th century, they were still fighting it out. But the stories that came, that were read to me years later after the fact, and here it is again. I would think that people of Italian descent who had family members in Italy, people of Spanish descent who had family members during the reign of Francisco Franco, where are you? Why aren't you telling the rest of us what is going on? Son of a bitch! You can't get it from this program! I don't have the microphone. I don't have the range. Where are the liberals? Where are the Jews and the Italians? Where are you? Why don't you tell people in this country what is happening? Okay, I'm sorry. Kathy's looking at me like, son of a bitch, should I go get the blood pressure cuff? Okay. Lucy Ann Goldberg is an Episcopalian? Well, gee, thanks, Irish Dave. We'll be back. The hour. Here's the statement from the ADL that Barry sent me. This is from August 7th. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, today called attempts by some opponents of health care reform to bring Nazi imagery into the debate, quote, outrageous, deeply offensive, and inappropriate, end quote, and condemned remarks by talk show host Rush Limbaugh, who compared President Obama's health care logo to a swastika and policies championed by the Democratic Party to those of Nazis. Abraham Foxman, ADL National Director and a Holocaust survivor, said, quote, regardless of the political differences and the substantive differences in the debate over health care, the use of Nazi symbolism is outrageous, offensive, and inappropriate. Americans should be able to disagree on the issues without coloring it with Nazi imagery and comparisons to Hitler. This is not where the debate should be at all, end quote. I get Barry's point. It's a very weak statement. Regardless of the political differences and the substantive difference in the debate over health care, Mr. Foxman, this is not a debate over health care. And you are a very smart man, and you should know that. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the debate over health care. I understand the need for you to be diplomatic in your published statements, but come on. Stop it. Whose door will these Christians arrive at with a bucket of yellow paint first, Mr. Foxman? I don't get this at all. Why? Not just the ADL, but why isn't everybody in this country, every organization that understands what's happening? You go back to Niemoller's statement. What was his first name? The pastor in Germany. His statement about, you know, they came for the trade unionists and I did nothing because I'm not a Jew. You've heard it. And finally they came for the Jews and I did nothing because I'm not a Jew. And then when they came for me, there was nobody left. The boiled frog syndrome. Kate T. writes, dear Mike, how's this for a theory as to why there isn't more of an outcry about everything, literally everything that's going on? There was a study released a little while ago, perhaps a couple of months ago, that stated that hormones from birth control pills and estrogen replacement therapy, etc., are not being filtered out of our water treatment facilities, and these hormones are in our drinking water. So, what else isn't being filtered out? Antidepressants, antipsychotics, ADD medications? Since we are the most medicated, probably the most sedated since September 11, 2001, country on the planet. Is it possible that even those of us not on medications are getting a healthy dose of nothing to see here in our drinking water? Or perhaps all the hormones have just turned us all into a bunch of blanks? Can't say that, Kate. We went to one of the town halls our representative held earlier in the week, and the level of pure, unadulterated hate coming off these people was palpable. It was one of the most unnerving experiences of my life. They are willfully, deliberately, and maliciously ignorant. There's no having even a rudimentary conversation with them. They just start screaming personal insults. These people were simply horrendous, and many of them had their children with them. Kate. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some of the videos. And I wonder, I just, like Kate points out about the kids. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because, you know, mommy and daddy can do no wrong. Mommy and daddy are God. Okay, not God. Oh my goodness, we don't want to do anything blasphemous. Mommy and Daddy are very, very important, the most important people, even if they spank me, even if they put me in time out. So when Mommy and Daddy are screaming and you know, what message are these kids getting? Well, you understand what message you're getting. Jesus Christ. A lot of people ought to be going into psychiatric social work right now, because there's another whole crop of disturbed people coming up, right? And by the way, the Nazi symbols that they are taking to these rallies, I think the people are missing the point. The media is missing the point. Those symbols are not to indicate contempt about Nazism, even though they may deface the picture of the president with a mustache like Hitler. No, no, no. Those symbols are what these people are gathering themselves together under. Keep that in mind.
On the day the Nazi died, the world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every...
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nails.
This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option.
Exactly.
It's 25 before the hour. So Irish Dave sends me a link at Wikipedia. Healthcare in Israel is both universal and compulsory and is administered by a small number of organizations with funding from the government. All Israeli citizens are entitled to the same uniform benefits package, regardless of which organization they are a member of, and treatment under this package is funded for all citizens, regardless of their financial means. So Irish Dave says, does this make them Nazi-esque? Yeah, see, they have single payer in Israel, and yet American Jews, the crazy ones, will say that any attempt to bring universal health care to the United States is Nazism. So are you saying then, Jonah and Matt and the rest of you, are you saying, and David Horowitz, are you saying that... Israel is a Nazi-modeled state because they have universal health care? Again, how dare you? But, of course, it's not for me to say that because I'm not Jewish. But I just wonder, why? You know, where's AIPAC on this? Where are other Jewish organizations besides the ADL? Where are you? Come on, guys. I can't understand that. I just can't understand it. Alan in Payson, Arizona, home of 60 churches, he says. He sent this in, what, yesterday? Hi, Mike. Hey, let's provide health care to all with the exception of right-wing Christians. They can pray for good health. We'll call it the faith-based health care plan. It can keep the government plan honest. That's very cynical, Alan, but it's also very, very true. All right. From Prairie 2.
Climb back in bed.
Perry 2 writes in under the subject line, I can fly, oh crap, there's the ground. Bruce writes, the FDIC has increased the number of banks on its official watch list of dodgy banks from 300 to 420, not counting the 81 closed so far this year. They admit they are unsure what to do about even more banks that are holding at least $1 trillion in toxic assets on their books. Technically, the banks have until next year to reconcile these losses against their capital requirements. How many institutions are involved is unknown. But $1 trillion in losses would wipe out the entire equity of an awful lot of banks. Waiting for the deadline would crash all these banks at once, and that could cause an old-fashioned bank panic. The FDIC's favorite method for dealing with an insolvent bank is to sell it to another solvent bank. The problem is they're running out of solvent banks to be the new owners. To deal with this, they have sharply reduced the capital requirements to own a bank in order to attract private equity firms as buyers. Private equity firms are shadowy investment companies that are not required to file reports to the SEC like publicly traded firms do. Much of the mess we're in now was driven by their risky practices, most of which used to be illegal. A lot of it still is, except nobody has enforced the law in 30 years. When foxes with flamethrowers are guarding the hen house, there's fried chicken for everybody. This ongoing crisis is nowhere near peaking as a huge number of adjustable rate loans are yet to reset to interest rates that borrowers will not be able to pay. Then you have millions of unemployed mortgage holders whose middle class jobs are gone for good and are drifting toward default. With half of home loans underwater, nobody can sell to avoid foreclosure. And as the default rate picks up, this will drive prices still lower, putting still more into potential default. You also have a fantastic amount of commercial paper that will soon be determined to be of no value. This will all continue to drive the cycle of layoffs, bankruptcies, business failures, foreclosures, and bank failures, then repeat the cycle faster and faster. Layoffs, bankruptcies, business failures, foreclosures, and bank failures. Layoffs, bankruptcies, and bank failures. It's as if everybody is in a decaying orbit, enjoying the view while it lasts. The ground is rushing up to greet us. Prairie 2. Bruce Enberg. Go to his website, prairienumeral2.com. Prairienumeral2.com. By God, he's getting better and better, isn't he? Whew. Steve in Knoxville writes, Mike, I just realized why it is that people wearing T-shirts at Bush rallies were asked to leave, while people carrying guns at Obama rallies are allowed to stay. Ideas are far more dangerous than guns. Steve in Knoxville, Tennessee. Larry is in Staten Island. Hey, Larry.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine. Do you remember me calling you once before?
No, I don't, but well, I'll take your word for it.
Okay, I'll get to the quick. There's a book I think you should be aware of.
Yeah?
It's called Zionism in the Age of the Dictators. And it's written by a man by the name of Lenny Brenner. In this book, he shows the relationship between the Zionists and many of the Nazis and the fascists. He goes all the way back even before the age of fascism.
Okay, wait, Larry. Wait, just a second. This is a topic that's way expanded from what I was talking about. And we're almost out of time, and I got people on hold. People have been waiting to get on the phone tonight. I just don't think I want to go into this, all right? Look, I have no desire tonight to get into a discussion about Zionism and how it links up with fascism and or communism or Mormonism or Protestantism or baptism. And I'm not trying to be a smartass, Larry. I'm just not in the mood for that tonight. All right? All right. Thank you. Brett is in Niceville, Florida. Hey, Brett.
Hey. Good evening.
Hi.
Hey, I hear both sides using it does work in other countries and public option doesn't work in other countries. And I think in both cases, it's faulty logic to actually say because it works in Israel or it works in France that it would work here because they are completely different health care system.
But that doesn't make any difference. A system is a system is a system.
I mean,
to say that it won't work because it's a different culture is absolutely not true. Let me give you an example. France has money. Israel has money. America has money. We use it to buy things. Everything has a value. I've got a dollar, they've got a franc, and they've got a shekel. So, the underlying premise of a system of universal health care doesn't make any difference. It can be in Bantustan. It can be in Outer Mongolia. Universal health care is universal health care. A. B. The other side is not make so-called, is not making any kind of a coherent argument. They're out of their goddamn minds. They want to see everything continue because if it continues, it eventually collapses. You've got to start from the premise that the right wing in this country wants to destroy the country. Once you accept that, then all the rest of this stuff becomes clear. There is no debate about health care. What the hell is the debate supposed to be? On the one side, people saying, we want universal health care. The other side saying, no, that's a debate? On not health care, on health insurance. Where's the debate? And to paint those of us who are promoting universal health insurance as being Nazis? God damn, that's not a debate! So please don't label it as such. Because if you do, I just don't feel like giving you time on the program. Do you understand? I'm not trying to be a bastard. I'm not trying to censor your call. It's just that I don't want this craziness on this program. I'm crazy enough. You people are supposed to contribute sanity and rationality. I'm the crazy person when I scream and rant and rave. So please don't call in and tell me there are two sides to this issue or that universal health care won't work in this country because it does work in France, which essentially is what you're saying, or it does work in Israel, or it does work in Russia, so obviously it can't work here because we're not Russia, France, or Israel. Come on! Don't do that! It's a bogus argument. It's not even an argument. It's nonsense. Aye. But the guy driving in Kansas wants to tell me what? Oh. I don't know why somebody wants to talk about how I... Okay, whatever. Let's do the break. Is it time to do the break? Do the break. We'll come back and do a couple more phone calls. Ah. Before the hour, thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Ben Birch, and our executive producer, Kathy Bay. Quick email here from Jan in Mill Valley, California, who is Jewish. Mike, too late to get through on the phone. My feeling about right-wing Jews in America is that Israel has changed the political direction of many Jews, turning them to the right. Recent article by a Jewish professor shows how a politician's support for Israel often determines for which candidate many Jews will cast their vote. When I was young, it was rare to find right-wing American Jews, but unfortunately, they're all too common today. The quote by Martin Niemöller begins, "First they came for the communists, but I was not a communist, so I did not speak out." Because Hitler opposed communism even before he turned his wrath on the Jews, there were some right-wing German Jews who supported the rise of Nazism. Those who could got out, did so, when it became evident that eventually Hitler would come for them too. The rest were left to perish. Jan in Mill Valley. TJ is in Roswell, New Mexico. Hey, TJ.
Yeah, how you doing there, Mike?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yeah, like I was telling Ms. Malloy, I she kind of urged me to get to the point, but I was wondering after the senator died and he's made so much reference to his brothers, you know, having been assassinated, I began to think about all of the people that have been assassinated in our country. And maybe in a lot of Western countries, they all seem to be of left-wing persuasion, and it's kind of indicative to me, the basic behavior of right-wingers, that if they disagree with you, they're going to basically crush you like so many thought groups. I was just wondering what you thought of that.
Well, not everybody who has been gunned down or attempted gunned down. Don't forget, they attacked George Wallace. There was an attempt to murder him in 68? Gerald Ford, there was an attempt to murder him. Ronald Reagan, there was an attempt to murder him. I think the people who attempt assassinations on political figures, what they share, what they have in common, is they're insane. They're just insane. Timothy McVeigh obviously was insane. And he was, of course, he was a right winger. He was just an insane man. There's no question whether or not Timothy McVeigh was crazy. The correspondence he had with Gore Vidal before they executed him was a clear indication, and it's very interesting reading the letters that Gore Vidal and Timothy McVeigh wrote back and forth to each other. It's very clear that McVeigh's mind had been totally just shredded by people like Rush Limbaugh. Just totally shredded. You know, when you disagree with the direction of your country and decide to kill 168 innocent people, that's goddamn madness. That's insanity. That's insane doesn't make it with that kind of an act. When you exterminate 6 million people in a country that was renowned for its art, its science, its music, its poetry, its literature. And yet you can exterminate 6 million people who were contributing to that cultural design of that particular country. When you have people that can do that, that is insanity. That has nothing to do, as far as I'm concerned, with left or right. It has to do with madness. Madness. It has nothing to do with evil. It has to do with madness. Just flat out, full blown insanity. So I understand what you're saying, that so many people on the political left or the liberal aspect, those people who cared about justice and equal rights and human rights and decency and kindness and giving everyone a chance, no matter what their religious affiliation was, or even if they had none, or their sexual orientation, even if they weren't sure what it was, or their gender or their racial makeup, no matter how confusing that might be. Those are the people that are usually gunned down in a country that is perched on the ledge, ready to jump. But it's not always been right-wing nutcases. It's just nutcases, period, as far as I'm concerned. Why attempt to assassinate Gerald Ford? What the hell did he ever do? But the woman who tried to do it was obviously deranged. Joel is driving in Kansas. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
I appreciate taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm not looking to... I don't disagree. I'm a supporter and a longtime listener. I just Jan said it all. I have a mixed Jewish background,
mm-hmm.
and I just got for Larry's sake. When you a moment before you had said, "Where are the Jews?" You know,
right.
Where? And then he called up, and you put him. You said, "Not tonight." I was just like, "What?" But
what Larry wanted to do is to get into this anti-Zionist rant. He wanted to show me how Zionism and fascism are locked in some kind of an historical embrace, and I'm just not interested in hearing that kind of stuff tonight. I mean, okay, maybe somebody can make a case for that, but not tonight, not here, not now, not given the topic. You understand that was what that's where my ration came from, Joel.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And hey, keep it lit.
All right. Thanks, Joel. I appreciate you checking in. We're flat out of time, pal. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.